It is time now for Monday's headlines. First up on our agenda today, emerging markets tanking, and many are pointing the finger at the U.S. Central Bank. Is the rest of the world just too dependent on the U.S., or is our Fed ruining the world picture? Let's take it to our Monday panel. We've got Charles Payne joining us right here on set, Sandra Smith as well here in New York City, and finally Matt Welch, contributor on the new Fox Business show, The Independents. Guys, welcome to all of you. This is a Charles Payne question. I mean, you've been all over the Fed for years and the easy money, which has been market positive, but now we're seeing something different.
Well, this is interesting because almost all the names that are in trouble have some unique country-specific issues. Turkey, we're seeing a major, major political crisis there. Argentina, well, they just simply won't pay their bills. Ukraine, we've got civil unrest. Thailand, you've got civil unrest. And, you know, so you couple all of this. I spent a lot of part of the week in studying the Mexican peso crisis and the Thai baht crisis. And I don't see a lot of similarities with respect to the fact that they had no foreign reserves. They were completely flat-footed. But this can mushroom. You know, we always hear about a contagion. You hear these are small countries, they don't matter. But remember, you know, the whole world was on a precipice when the Thai pot thing came. And, you know, it was a serious crisis for a few months.
But Dennis, you know, but if you think about it, do you blame the Fed? Because all these other central banks around the world are now jumping in and going, hey, let's print some more money. This will make our economy better.
The Fed's going to do what the Fed's supposed to do. And I don't know how much the Fed should have to worry about Thailand when it cuts back. But the Fed's pulling back on that easy money has been the most telegraphed, the most predicted move. Anyone else who's caught short and isn't hedged against that was simply foolish. It's their fault, not the Fed's fault.
That's absolutely right. People have been, I mean, we've had the ability to hunt for bubbles. Artificially cheap money creates bubbles. There is no exception to that rule. So we've had now a couple of years to say, okay, which one of these things were bubbles? And the question is, for me, is the U.S. stock market one of those bubbles?
Well, of course it's not a bubble.
Sandra?
I would have to completely disagree in that the Fed did overreach its boundaries, arguably. I know that Charles and I have had this conversation quite frequently, but these became markets where nobody could play by the rules of the past because the Fed's involvement was something that we had never seen before. It was unprecedented. So, Dennis, while we might have been able to anticipate when they were going to start to pull back, the markets never had to deal with this level of involvement from the Fed before, and you could no longer just trade based on a company's earnings. You had to be predicting what the Fed was going to do next.
So
that's impacted everyone.
But we're so worried about the Fed cutting back a second $10 billion. So we go from $85 billion in bond purchases per month down to $65. We have a $17 trillion economy. This doesn't have to upset the apple cart.
Ironically, while many people like Charles will argue that the Fed didn't prop up the stock market over the past year, all of a sudden when we have the Fed tapering, the stock market's going down, how can there be
On December 18th, when the Fed announced tapering, the Dow went up 300 points and it went up another 500 points when they told the world we're going to taper. What I will say is that the Fed does not take $85 billion and buy stocks with it. It makes stocks more attractive versus other investments, but you still have to have earnings on the bottom line. Why would an emerging crisis hurt our stock market? Because that's where our earnings have come from. Caterpillar had a great number.
And that's where future growth is as well.
Right, exactly. So that's where the earnings from our corporations have come from. And that's the disconnect. Most people watching this show, when they look out the window, they say, I don't see it. Well, you can't see it because you don't know that they're building 7 luxury hotels in Baku, Azerbaijan. But they are.
That's why Caterpillar was a bit of a head fake to me this morning, guys. Let's move on to our second topic. More security threats in Sochi. The State Department warning about the possibility of Black Widow suicide bombers in the area. And American athletes are now being told not to wear USA gear outside of the venues where they're competing. Republican Congressman Peter King spoke about this over the weekend.
It's an indicator of just how seriously our government takes this, the fact that there are real threats there. And even though Putin talks about the ring of steel around the main Olympic venue, the fact is once you get outside that venue or even going from venue to venue, there is real vulnerability.
You know, and many athletes are telling their families to stay home. I mean, come on, Matt, would you really go out and cheer Team USA in the midst of all of this?
I wouldn't go just because it's Russia in February and January. I don't want anywhere near that. It's too
probably
cold.
Warmer than here, Matt, but anyway.
Yeah, a little
continue.
Bit. You know, we say this every time the Olympics is in a country, even like South Korea. I remember they were showing all the ninjas crawling up and down for security. Yeah. We always freak out. Usually the more authoritarian the country, the better the security is. And the U.S. State Department is, it's true. I mean, it's not an advertisement
for
authoritarianism.
I mean, they can violate all kinds of rights and crack down.
What 1996 wasn't exactly.
I believe we're sending 40 security people to protect our athletes. That's versus 50 in the previous Olympics. And the reason we're not sending more is because the Russians would be insulted. They asked us not to. I don't want to worry about hurting Russia's feelings. I want to make sure we keep the athletes safe.
But you know what? Vladimir Putin is actually spending billions of rubles, if you will, whatever, on things that have nothing to do with security. This is the least amount of concern for him. It's kind of frustrating.
Money grabs in modern history. I mean, the money that Putin and his friends have stolen from their people building this out is another story. Now, as far as wearing those uniforms, no disrespect to Ralph Lauren, but I don't know about where threat or no threat.
This for the best dressed man on the network.
Who designed those bad boys? I mean, give me a break. You know, I mean, the old ABA basketball. Give me a break. But if someone in my family made it, I would go support them. Other than that, I'm with Matt.
See, I might go watch the events, but I would not take my daughter. I would worry a little bit about danger.
You should worry no matter what Olympics, wherever you are, whether you're traveling the globe, whether you're going to the Super Bowl in New Jersey. But Peter King, this made headlines that he said, I can't 100% guarantee
the
safety of people of those people that attend. You can't do that ever. But, so, I don't know. I think you always have to be careful and to not walk outside with your uniform on. I think that's a reasonable request at all times, to be quite
honest. But, Matt, at the same time, I mean, our entire participation in these games has been mired with controversy since the beginning. First, it was Russia's ban on anyone that was gay, and this is a criminal act. Now we've got this. He's not even dealing with security. I mean, this is a really black eye for somebody who, by the way, is the second time he's been running.
At the same time, it kind of makes the Olympics interesting. Remember when the Olympics were super interesting? It's when there was a superpower struggle, and there was some kind of nation state, there's blood in the pool between Hungary and the Soviet Union back then. So it kind of gets us more interested now because we want to see how these conflicts play out.
Okay. Well, something that was very interesting, and Dennis and I both were just saying, we both watched this last night, the Grammy Awards had some pretty controversial moments and some surprising winners and losers. But in this day and age of YouTube and streaming music, is the Grammys really a relevant piece to the music industry?
So here's
the thing. It's so fractured, right?
You know, I watched the show last night. Some riveting performances, incredible energy, great job by CBS and the Brucers of that show. But would a funeral be more appropriate? Let's remember that for years, the music business has been racked by online and the internet. And in 2013, for the first time after years of increase, even digital download sales fell because more all-you-can-eat services like Spotify and Pandora are rising. So look at the winners. The big winners were this Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. They won for Best New Artist. They won 3 new rap awards. Guess what? No music label. They distributed independently on iTunes. That underscores the challenges this industry faced.
Charles, some of these people that won Grammys last night self-produced. They couldn't even get the industry to even look at them. And here they are, gigantic sensations. Who needs a record label?
I would celebrate that. I don't know about the Grammys itself. You know, I mean, listen, I'm the wrong person when it comes to pop culture, to be honest with you. My son did hit me to a few new rap artists this morning on the way to school. But other than that, guys, I'm not a Grammy watcher, and I think there's so many award shows these days. Golly, next week there's going to be something else in a month from now, so I don't know.
Look, I didn't watch it, but I'm a big fan of the arts, so I'm a big fan of awarding those or rewarding those who do well and get the attention of their fans. However, I find the whole thing very contradictory or very, I can't find the right word for it, you know that most of these artists complain that we don't spend enough on their music, we don't buy their full albums, and we're watching and listening to music for free, but yet we sit here and we watch this for 4 hours on a Sunday night and watch them all compliment each other.
Then a winner, Matt, in all of this might be CBS at the end of the day, not the Grammys themselves or even the music artists, but CBS. We haven't gotten the ratings yet, or maybe we have, Dennis.
They've gotten a preliminary ratings. It's down from last year because of the Pro Bowl, just a little bit, but there's 10 million more Americans watching this than 5 years ago because they switched to live music, which is also where the industry itself goes.
By the way, most stunning performance, Pink doing Cirque du Soleil, no net tricks up on a trapeze and truly doing the real tricks herself. And in that case, for a change, you don't mind lip syncing. You go ahead and pipe over the music if she's got to
do a backflip. She was my favorite as well. I'm wondering what the demographics are now for this audience. Is it older or younger? Because you see all the mashups they have between younger artists and the older artists. And Willie Nelson,
Chicago from 1971, baby. And does anybody know what time it is? And hook him up with the Blurred Lines guy?
The best was seeing Jay-Z dance to Okie from Muskogee by Merle Haggard. That's when I knew America is back.
Baby. See, the melting pot, baby.
Even Beyonce was sitting there, you know, jamming to country music.
Merle and Willie stretch across all generations. Come on.
Yep.
Charles, sure. we gotta get you like more lined up with some
Come
of the
on.
Cool
yeah,
stuff
yeah,
the kids
yeah,
talking about.
Yeah. I'm on the music itself, but just not the award shows. But yeah. I do agree that the live performances is where it's at.
Yeah. Plus, the fashion was horrendous, and that's half the reason.
It was about Pharrell's hat, right? Oh. Pharrell's hat. I didn't see it, but apparently it was ridiculous.
I always find that a designer gown is always detracted from by all the tattoos and facial piercings.
Simple and elegant.
Speak for
Can we go back to that?
Sandra, Charles, Matt, guys, thank you very much. Happy Monday.